Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 45 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Shamari Mosley.
We have lots of heavy rain over the weekend in northeast Kentucky, and that's led to some flooding of the roadway.
Floodwaters have impacted much of eastern Kentucky, and the governor has declared a state of emergency.
The number of COVID cases have dropped in the Commonwealth.
Lawmakers are considering a rewrite of the state's open records laws.
Election reform has passed the state house on Friday.
Moorhead State University is hosting a chalk walk art contest tomorrow.
In sports, Moorhead State volleyball and cross country are in action this afternoon.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 23. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Heavy rain across Appalachia has led to water rescues, mudslides, road closures, and power outages. Officials in McGoffin and Pike counties declared a state of emergency Sunday due to damage from the flooding, and some evacuations took place, including at a Salyersville Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. Alan Blair is Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 spokesman. He says roads were especially dangerous Sunday night when the water was still on the rise.
Even just a few inches of water can float a vehicle. So, you know, we put those warning signs out. We ask people to observe those warning signs and don't drive through high water. You know, any water can make your vehicle go off the road. You don't know what's underneath that high water. Could be a section of pavement missing or a culvert washed out. You know, we remind people, please be safe, protect yourself, don't drive through any high water, no matter what.
Governor Andy Beshear declared a state of emergency due to the heavy rain across Kentucky today. The Kentucky Division of Emergency Management State Emergency Operations Center has been activated, and they are monitoring reports from county emergency service agencies.
During Sunday's report, Governor Andy Beshear shared a positive news with Kentuckians. He says the number of vaccinations continue to go up as more become available. Since Tuesday, at least 91,991 Kentuckians have received the first dose. Beshear says the number of new COVID-19 cases has dropped in Kentucky for the seventh week straight.
Today, our positivity rate, 5.02%. That's the lowest in at least 4 months. Also a good sign.
Beshear encourages Kentuckians to continue abiding by safety guidelines, even if things are looking more hopeful.
There are now hundreds of places in Kentucky to get a COVID-19 vaccine, but finding local ones that have openings can take some work. VaccineFinder.org, backed by the CDC, lets people search locations near them to get vaccinated. Stuart Spillman with the Lake Cumberland District Health Department tells LEX18 vaccination options are available.
It may take a little work. I mean, you're going to have to call around and find these things if you want it immediately. But there are some options out there. Now, you have to qualify, of course.
Officials say to check VaccineFinder.org often for new information.
An election reform package is one step closer to the governor's desk, as the Kentucky House of Representatives okayed House Bill 574 on Friday. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The bill contains provisions that please both Democrats and Republicans, though it falls far short of the election reforms championed by the governor. In addition to guaranteeing 3 days of early voting, the measure makes permanent parts of the temporary emergency election changes enacted last year amid the pandemic. Those include countywide voting centers where all precincts can vote, an online absentee ballot portal, and a process for voters with mismatched signatures on their absentee ballots to correct those mistakes and have their votes counted. The bill does not expand mail-in voting, however, and it bans what's known as ballot harvesting, blocking nonpartisan organizations from helping gather ballots and submit them. Election law expert Joshua Douglas says the compromise package is a step forward.
This is actually how legislation should work. You know, by bringing lots of voices to the table, trying to seek compromise and consensus.
Kentucky's Republican Secretary of State is calling the bill, quote, arguably the most significant election reform measure in our history. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Legislation on the fast track to approval in the General Assembly is being called a substantial rewrite of the state's open records laws. Supporters of the new language, tucked inside a separate bill, maintain the changes are necessary to protect confidential constituent information and reduce burdens on the records system. The bill creates a new standardized form for all applications for open records, shuts out requests from out-of-state entities, and sets higher standards for those seeking the information, according to critics. Democratic Representative Derek Graham said the bill jeopardizes the public's ability to stay informed.
It is the press that educates the citizenry of what we're doing. And I think we're limiting the access in terms of getting to know exactly what's going on.
One organization sounding the alarm is the Kentucky Open Government Coalition, which slammed the legislation as an ill-conceived move that largely abandons the state 45-year-old Sunshine Law. The House ultimately voted 71-27 to approve the bill, which now heads to the Senate.
Morehead State University is quickly approaching the halfway point in the spring 2021 semester, and the university plans to take advantage of the warming weather while promoting student creativity and school spirit. The MSU Chalk Walk Art Competition will take place Tuesday, March 2nd from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The competition is sponsored by MSU's Department of Art and Design, MSU Athletics, and the Student Government Association. Melissa Youngbluth is the Golden Yang Art Gallery Director and Instructor of Art at MSU. She says students wanting to participate can sign up using the Eagle Link webpage.
Students will pre-register. They've got until, I believe, Sunday night so that Monday I can come in and organize it a little bit. And then we will select spaces where the students or the groups will be drawing their design. And they can use as much chalk as they want. We got a ton of it.
Further event details can also be found at moreheadstate.edu/chalkwalk.
Questions are still being asked about last week's parking garage collapse in downtown Lexington. Building inspectors' records show the previous owner made structural repairs in late 2018. Unlike roads and bridges, most states don't require parking garages to be inspected by law. Tracy Grover is a professional engineer consultant. He tells LEX 18 people should be aware of red flags regarding structural integrity of parking garages.
Deteriorating concrete, you know, it's crumbling, it's cracking. Maybe there's a piece of it laying somewhere. Or as you're walking through the structure, you know, if you saw a piece of a beam that was, you know, that got clipped, let's say by a high, you know, high vehicle, the average person, you're just looking for cracks.
For now, the Mill Street parking garage is condemned.
Former Kentucky basketball player Randolph Morris was indicted last week for not reporting more than $13 million he earned while playing professionally in China. WMKY's Rachel Turner has more.
The former McDonald's All-American was indicted on 11 federal charges for wire fraud and making false statements on his federal tax returns. According to LAX 18, Morris played at UK from 2004 to 2007 before entering the NBA. The wire fraud counts allege Morris submitted false income information to the Kentucky Department of Revenue when he played for the Beijing Ducks. According to the FBI, the alleged failure to report any of his earnings from his Chinese team during those years cost the state of Kentucky more than $400,000 in tax revenue. Morris faces up to 20 years in prison and a fine of $250,000 on each wire fraud count. For the counts of making false statements on tax returns, he faces a maximum prison sentence of 3 years. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
West Virginia lawmakers are proposing abolishing the state's personal income tax, but social services advocates say the move would be devastating for children and families. Estimates show without state income tax, West Virginia's child welfare system, child protective services, and its foster care system would each face a 20% cut. State coordinator for Prevent Child Abuse West Virginia, Jim McKay, says reducing funding would be a major step backward in preventing child abuse.
if these cuts are enacted to the level that they've been discussed, then we're going to lose that progress and return to increasing rates of child abuse and neglect instead of decreasing that we've accomplished in the last 24 months.
According to data from the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, ending personal income tax would benefit West Virginia's wealthiest residents without helping low to middle income families.
Ohio is ahead of other states in administering the most COVID-19 vaccines to residents in long-term care facilities. The American Healthcare Association and the National Center for Assisted Living called on the CDC to evaluate the efficiency of the vaccine among long-term care populations that are not included in clinical trials. Peter Van Ruckel is the head of the Ohio Healthcare Association. He says the data will be important information to consider when changing long-term care facilities restrictions.
We're talking about things like quarantining people when they're newly admitted, things like visitation by family members, testing, the amount of testing that has to be done, which is currently a lot, and things like how much PPE needs to be worn.
The state is expected to release more information this week about its plans moving forward for a federal vaccination program to help long-term care facilities. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for this evening, clear skies with a low around 23, Tuesday sunny with a high near 48, Tuesday night mostly clear with a low around 31, Wednesday sunny with a high near 53, Wednesday night mostly clear with a low around 31, Thursday sunny with a high near 51, Thursday night mostly clear with a low around 24, and for your Friday, sunny with a high near 47.
On our feature segment today, the Hobbs Endowment for Equality Scholarship continues to financially assist LGBTQ plus students at Morehead State University. WMKY's Rachel Turner has more.
The endowment was established in 2009 by Toni Hobbs. She is from Lee County and has a similar story to the students she aims to help through the scholarship.
So I am about as Eastern Kentucky as it gets. And I was the kind of student that would have benefited from this. You know, my family was by no means wealthy, but also, you know, I was just a little art nerd. And, you know, I'd have students leave God hates notes in my locker, in my art locker and stuff like that. Or people email me and tell me it would be better if I would just kill myself.
Hobbs funds the endowment through annual contributions and has pledged future support through her estate plans.
I took a life insurance policy and donated it because it is assured that someday I will pass away. And so I wanted to leave something behind.
The endowment fund is one of the first in the state for LGBTQ plus students specifically. Also, it is geared towards students already enrolled at MSU.
For undergraduate and graduate students, they get first priority. There aren't as many scholarships for students that are already here as there are, you know, you may get several as a freshman, and then once you're upper level, the support kind of runs out. And so I wanted to give undergraduate students first dibs.
The Hobbs Endowment also works to fund various programming at the university to ensure students have a diverse learning experience.
If there is a diverse speaker or something that a department or a student or an organization wants to bring in and they don't know where to start on finding money, then they just need to, you know, talk to me and we can try to figure that out.
When fully funded, this endowment is expected to be valued at $50,000. And will support Eagles for generations to come. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
Support for MSPR comes from Main Street Medical Associates, 214 East Main Street in Morehead. Main Street Medical Associates is now open to the Morehead community, providing primary care and addiction services with counseling by board-certified and licensed providers. Same-day and next-day appointments for primary care, medical evaluations, occupational exams, physicals, and addiction services. In-office or telemedicine available by appointment by calling 606-784-8682. That's 784-8682. Main Street Medical Associates on Facebook and online at mainstreetmedical.live.
It's 45 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Shamari Mosley and Keneally Roberts, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We've got a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us this evening. Morehead State Volleyball and Cross Country had some success today. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Morehead State Volleyball team swept Tennessee State at home this afternoon, 3-1. The win comes after the team won the first set of matches in the series 3-1 on Sunday. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker says the first matchup had some high and low moments.
One of the phrases we always use is embrace the struggle. It's not going to be easy all of the time. And so when we're in moments when we're struggling, embracing it instead of trying to fight it, we did a good job of that.
The Eagles will have a few days off before traveling to Cookeville, Tennessee this weekend. They'll face Tennessee Tech on Sunday and Monday. The men's and women's cross-country teams completed early this afternoon at the Ohio Valley Conference Championship meet. The men placed 5th and the women placed 6th overall. As both teams transition to outdoor track, head coach Clay Dixon explains where the teams will be traveling next.
Luckily, we'll have like a two-week break. We'll still be training and everything, but 2 weeks in between our cross-country season and outdoor starting. We'll have a nice little rust buster at Miami, Ohio, and then we'll get to go down to North Carolina for hopefully some warmer weather and some fast races there.
Both teams' first outdoor meet will be March 20th in Oxford, Ohio. Full results from today's conference meet can be found at msueagles.com. The Morehead State soccer team opens regular season play tomorrow at home with Murray State. The Eagles are gearing up for the spring season after COVID kept them off the field in the fall. Head coach Warren Lipka says his team has been following CDC guidelines to prepare for the spring season, but he's happy they won't have to wear masks during games.
Just during when we do training or training and practice sessions, we wear them, but no, they're allowing them not to wear them because it's too much of a restriction on the oxygen coming into the body, you know, so they need to be able to breathe a little bit.
Game time with the Racers Tuesday is set for 3 p.m. The Morehead State baseball team went 1-1 in Athens Friday, but a doubleheader with Ohio University was canceled today due to wet conditions at Allen Field. The Eagles currently stand at 1-5 on the young season. Head coach Mick Aoki says, unfortunately, playing at home today just wasn't possible.
With all that snow and frost and everything else, the outfield was wet to begin with, and the amazing amount of rain we got yesterday didn't help matters much. You'd be sort of running around on a wet sponge.
The team will prepare for a road game tomorrow at the University of Louisville. First pitch against the Cards is scheduled for 3 p.m. The men's basketball team at MSU is coming off two big wins over the weekend. The team took down Belmont on Saturday in overtime, clinching the number 2 seed in the Ohio Valley Conference tournament set for this week. Head coach Preston Spradlin says there's a lot to do before their first matchup.
You know, there's a lot more testing going into the tournament, days leading up to your games and days that you travel. And so it's kind of made our normal day before game travel a little sped up. We'll practice here in tomorrow morning. We'll hit the road and head down to Evansville, get tested once we get down there.
The Eagles will meet Southeastern Missouri Wednesday night in the first round of the OVC tournament. Tip-off in Evansville, Indiana is set for 10:30 p.m. The Rowan County boys basketball game set for tonight has been canceled, and the Rowan County Senior High School girls team has a win streak going for the first time this season. Like many other teams, the Vikings' schedule has seen several cancellations due to the pandemic, making it difficult for the team to find its focus. But girls' team head coach Matt Stokes says now that the team has seen some consistency, they managed to take down Madison Southern, Elliott County, and Bath County.
For not being in the gym very much, I wasn't expecting to have the week we had, but the girls really played well. They played a whole lot better than I thought we were ready to play at this point in time for where we've been so much, but everything seems to be going well. You know, it's what happens when you get a bill to get in the gym for a week straight, and hopefully we can keep on doing it.
The Viking girls next play tomorrow evening. They'll host Franklin County for a 7:30 p.m. tip-off. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers. Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Good vaccine news and stable interest rates on the bond market helped equities turn out a huge gain today, with the Dow Industrials up 603.14 at 31,535.51. The S&P 500 was up 90.67 at 3901.82, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 396.48 at 13,588.83. Energy and financials both very strong, with energy up 2.6% and financials up 3.2% on news of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine being approved by the FDA. And, of course, it is rolling out this week. Tech shares that have been under pressure lately were in particular strong today, with Tesla up 6.4% and Apple up 5.4%. And the 10-year U.S. Treasury finished today unchanged at just over 1.4%. And this encouraged the equities market, which had been spooked by the recent rise in Treasury rates. In the commodities markets, oil was down $1.10 at $60.40 a barrel. Gold continued its route, finishing down $7.40 at $1,721.40 an ounce. And turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up $1.38 at $92.93, AEP up $1.86 at $76.71, Marathon Petroleum up $1.48 at $56.10. Community Trust Bank up $1.09 at $41.95. It was App Harvest up 31 cents at $30.76. And Humana was up $5.27, finishing at $384.92. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for this evening, clear skies with a low around 23, Tuesday sunny with a high near 48, Tuesday night mostly clear with a low around 31, Wednesday sunny with a high near 53, Wednesday night mostly clear with a low around 31, Thursday sunny with a high near 51, Thursday night mostly clear with a low around 24, and for your Friday, sunny with a high near 47.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Rachel Turner, Josh Grogan, Wiley Tanner, Heather Fannin, Jonathan Burton, Megan Jones, and Keneally Roberts. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Rachel Turner. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Shamari Mosley and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.